All right, back on the Young Turks. Grace, Brent with you guys. I have overpromised and overhyped the first two stories, so we have that fun pressure to live up to.
Good.
But I would argue that I did not overhype them because I really do enjoy them.
Yeah, they're dense. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to get into.
And if they fail, I'll take the fall for it.
Good, you
it's
will.
Probably my fault, and I apologize in advance.
Good.
Okay, so of course some of you could not resist some Chris Christie jokes, so we'll share it with the public. Eric Rooney says, Christie may run again, fat chance he wins. Beach could be an issue, he'll cross that bridge when he comes to it if it's not closed.
Nice.
Okay. Crayfish Caddy says, you're all being way too hard on Governor Christie. He can't fit on the beach when other people are there. When else would he go? Okay, I'm not sanctioning these jokes. I denounce and reject them as I read them. Okay. And then finally, I am Sock says, John Iola says hash brown instead of hashtag. Awesome. I didn't notice he was doing that, but if he is, that's
aww,
great.
It's adorable.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a lot to get into. So let's just jump right into it with the Declaration of Independence, which is a great way to begin the 5th of July. All right. Trump supporters were not too pleased after NPR tweeted out the Declaration of Independence in bits and pieces. Now, this is something of a tradition for NPR, who has been doing it for 29 years. Now, they haven't been tweeting it out, but they've been reading out the Declaration of Independence. But when it was broken down into bits and pieces, some Trump users were saying that there was some propaganda, some bias. Let's just go to some tweets for the reaction right now. This is one Twitter user who says, yes. So NPR is calling for revolution. Interesting way to condone the violence while trying to sound patriotic. Your implications are clear. Do we have another tweet? I think we have another one. Please stop. This is not the right place. And then my favorite, someone responding to this. This is Goth Miss Frizzle, which that's a great Twitter name that deserves to be called out. Oh, here's another one. Goth Miss Frizzle. Do we have Goth Miss Frizzle? Graphic 3. That is, there's nothing more, nope. Well, I guess we don't have, we'll find it after. That person said, there's nothing more American than getting pissed because you think the Declaration of Independence is shitting on the president. And that seemed to have been what was going on. People thought that falsely, they assumed that the Declaration of Independence was calling out current President Trump, when in fact it was calling out 1776 monarch King George. This is actually not the first time that something of this kind has taken place. In 1951, Wisconsin journalist John Patrick Hunter was reporting for the Capital Times, and he ran into sort of a similar sort of propaganda scare during the Red Scare. The reporter typed up the Declaration's preamble along with 6 of the 10 amendments that make up the Bill of Rights and added the 15th Amendment prohibiting racist laws against voting. Hunter put those foundational American documents into petition form and canvassed 112 people at Madison's Independence Day celebration, but found only one person, insurance agent Wentworth Millar, not the actor, willing to sign off. None of the others Hunter approached would sign, and 20 of them accused Hunter of being a communist. So I think this is kind of, this is a very interesting story. I want to get your take on this. Is this just this is just people not knowing the Declaration of Independence, or just looking for propaganda and scare tactics?
So first, just to finish up that 1951 case, which is hilarious. They weren't alone. Joe McCarthy, the guy who was doing the Red Scare, said that it was, he congratulated the people of Madison for not signing a petition agreeing with the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, because he said the petition was put out by a communist editor of a communist newspaper.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy the irony of the Declaration of American Declaration of Independence being communist. So now back to today, here we are again, because the Trump supporters called the Declaration of Independence, quote, trash. Okay, of course they didn't know that it was the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
And then others were like, oh, that's an interesting coincidence, putting out the Declaration of Independence on Independence Day.
It's just like trying to find the first thought that makes sense in all of this, in anyone who would respond. Like, I think this idea is stupid and terrible, but not for the reasons that these people are objecting to it. I just picture the people who have like auto notifications on their phone from NPR, and then they get like 140 character at a time updates that are just the Declaration of Independence. Like, that would be so frustrating if your phone just kept going. Ding, ding, ding. It's like, all right, NPR, stop. Like, that would make me want to unsubscribe for NPR. From NPR's Twitter feed, but there's no way that you can get mad at them for communicating the Declaration.
And it's sort of a tradition for them. They're just sort of changing with the times. Instead of reading it out on the radio, they're tweeting it out. A lot of people get their news through Twitter. I think this makes total sense. But a lot of the people who were called out for it,
from 1776.
Instead of apologizing, a lot of people were saying, how many people do know the Declaration of Independence? Is that a valid excuse here? Instead of saying, instead of calling themselves out a little bit and realizing that, all right, let me take this as a sort of a gut check here. What was I looking for?
Yeah, no, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. Because half of it I understand. So one of the tweets, for example, is a quote from the Declaration that says, "A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people." So if you just saw that by itself, you might go, whoa, what's going on here? Although I would not jump to the conclusion that they were referring to Donald Trump when talking about a prince who's a tyrant. And it sounds kind of old schooly. I'd be like, I wonder where that quote is from. Maybe I Google it before I tweet in a rage. Mm-hmm. But if it was the Obama administration, I definitely would not have assumed that they meant the tyrant was Obama. But these guys took it a little personally because their sense is, that's kind of what we're doing, right? And so don't call us out on it. My favorite was people asking for balance. And
right.
One commentator, Gizmodo, was like, should we have put King George's statement in there too for balance?
What I think this is indicative of how, again, how people perceive news delivering organizations, right? So it's not that they disagree with, it's not that they take in any bit of information, look at it for what it is. Instead, it's source first. Like, they know they disagree with NPR. They know that NPR is on the other team. They're a liberal news organization in the minds of these Trump supporters. So they look to disagree with every single thing that NPR puts out. I think that's the dynamic that's most telling.
I completely agree. This sort of reminded me of people backing, good job, Brett, of people backing into their own corners. And before they really contextualize what these statements were, because again, it is a little strange that it is an older form of English. Mm-hmm. Instead of, let me Google this, they're like, I automatically disagree with this. It is exactly what I have this knee-jerk reaction, I think it to be. And so I'm going to tweet out this response. And then a lot of them got pretty embarrassed and had to eat their own words.
I think it's great to go back and reread the Declaration of Independence. It's pretty amazing. Like, if you take it and kind of parse it out, it's like, all right, we tried with this guy. We tried with King George. We sent him email and we tried to set up our laws, but he keeps avoiding every time we try to contact him. And then you pepper in a couple lines about how he's like inciting violence with the merciless Indian savages, which is kind of a left turn where they just start talking about Indian savages who kill women and children.
Maybe a right turn.
Yeah, it's a right turn. But it is great to go back and kind of reread the Declaration of Independence. And hopefully the next step for them and for a lot of people was to do just that, to kind of see where it got and mark, like, if you think that Trump is this terrible tyrant, like, if you read the gripes against King George, Trump doesn't seem that bad.
Well, we did revolt against King George, so that's kind of a high bar.
Right, there is stuff in the Declaration of Independence like obstructing laws of naturalization, obstructing justice, creating judges who are dependent to his will.
By the way, that is why some of the people thought it was about Trump. They're like, our guy obstructs justice, so this must be about him.
Right. There is something about calling legislative bodies to strange places that are essentially intended to wear down the will of the public. And so what it makes you think of, like, conducting state business in weird places like Mar-a-Lago. And then also like over Twitter. Why have we chosen that to be the place we take these kinds of discussions?
My favorite was the idea that this was a conspiracy by NPR. It's a conspiracy they launched 29 years ago.
Yeah,
right.
Like, we know that Donald Trump will be president 29 years from now, so we'll pretend that we care about the Declaration of Independence for 28 years.
Yeah.
And then whammo, we'll get Trump on the 29th year. And the guys are like, oh, now you're putting this out on Independence Day. Like, gee, I wonder what message you're sending.
It's like, no.
It's Independence Day. Yes. That's what they're sending the message, that it's Independence Day, which is named after kind of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, we're not always talking about you. People aren't always trying to make you angry. Sometimes it's Independence Day, and so they're communicating the document that triggered independence.
Well, and also just to remember that, that the United States was founded on a revolution, on speaking truth to power. And I think that that's something, you know, reading from what happened in 1951?
Yeah.
Yeah, in 1951, that's another thing that why are we so afraid of acknowledging that at our core, at our roots, you want to revolt when there's an abuse of power? I think it's kind of beautiful and it's a nice reminder. I'm very happy that NPR has this tradition because it's something we do tend to forget.
And conservatives are supposed to be totally in favor of that. The don't tread on me, right. And I have the rights, government doesn't have the rights. If you read it, that's exactly what it's saying, but apparently it makes you angry these days. I can't wait for next 4th of July when they flip out over Independence Day, the movie. They're like, what is Will Smith trying to say about Trump? Is he calling him an alien?
All right, let's move on. We got another dense story. Oh, wow, okay. So unless you have been living under a rock, you're probably familiar with the following video that President Trump tweeted out about his nemesis, CNN. Let's take a look at that video. So Donald Trump tweeted that out with the hashtag #FraudNewsCNN and hashtag #FNN. And that was actually a clip that we can attribute to Reddit user Han Asshole Solo, who was very excited when he found out that the president was using his work. He took to Reddit to say, holy shit, I wake up and have my morning coffee, and who retweets my shit post but the MAGA emperor himself? I am honored. That was on a thread in The Donald, which is a pro-Trump subreddit. And very quickly, people went to go see some of his other work, including Jared Yates Sexton, who is a New York Times contributor and an assistant professor at Georgia Southern University. And he dug up some other memes by this creator. Let's take a look at one of the memes. So there you go. Here's another meme from the guy Trump tweeted. This one showing CNN personalities with Jewish stars. The caption to that is something strange about CNN. Can't quite put my finger on it. And that's sort of just the beginning. There were other ones that Jared tweeted out. But following this on Tuesday, Solo took to Reddit to apologize for his earlier posts. He has since taken down that apology and deleted his Reddit account. But we do have some screenshots. In part, his apology reads, I would also like to apologize for the posts made that were racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic. I'm in no way this kind of person. I love and accept people of all walks of life. I do not advocate violence against the press. This has been an extreme wake-up call to always consider how others may think or feel about what is being said before clicking the submit button anywhere online that an opinion is allowed. He then added that trolling is nothing more than bullying a wide audience. Now, people on Reddit accused CNN of bullying him or of blackmailing him or threatening to dox him, which is releasing his personal information in order to get this apology. And that was shot down by Andrew Kaczynski, who works for K-File, which is the investigative reporting team for CNN. He tweeted out, Han Asshole Solo posted his apology before we ever spoke him. He called us afterwards to apologize further. But still, once the internet has a hold of an idea, it went all the way. This led to, on Tuesday, the hashtag CNN blackmail began trending on Twitter, with users sharing other memes of Trump chasing and pummeling CNN. Let's take a look at an example of this. This is, there will now be more anti-CNN memes than ever before. Thank you at CNN, hashtag CNN blackmail. And this reached sort of a tipping point most recently when Jack Posobiec, is a controversial pro-Trump activist whose name I hope I am pronouncing wrong, shared the personal details of multiple CNN employees and talent. Again, he was doxing CNN employees and talent, and that has been confirmed by multiple news outlets that that information is correct, but we're not gonna share any of that. This is getting out of hand. I want to get a reaction from you guys because it seems like there's sort of no end to this. If you call someone out for doxing, then you're gonna get doxed. No one believes this apology. People think that it was just sort of made up to get this to go away. I don't know what to believe here. It feels like an all-out war.
So there's two separate parts of this story, and I'm on different sides of those parts, which I'll get to in a second. Let's first note the fun parts of the story, that we're having serious conversations in this country all over the press about a guy named Han Asshole Solo. That's in every story.
Which, okay, incidentally, if you read the Star Wars books, that is his actual middle name.
I was gonna say it's redundant because one of the beloved characteristics of Han Solo is that he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
You don't need to say asshole, he's Han Solo.
See, not fake news.
When it was blanked out on CNN.com, I thought it was Han effing Solo, essentially.
Oh, right. So much
better. It's better off the tongue, but this is Han Asshole Solo. It doesn't sound as good to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's my main gripe with him.
That's a great point. Okay, second of all, let's note that the original Trump tweet where he calls CNN fake and fraudulent is a video that is fake and fraudulent. That's not actually Donald Trump that clotheslines Vince McMahon in the original video. It's a guy in a Trump wig and then they cut and then Trump gets up. So it's totally irrelevant, but just a fun thing that the tape is actually a fraud.
And it's also within wrestling, which even if it was the real Donald Trump, would still be a fake fight.
And it's not actually CNN, it's Vince McMahon that he's clotheslining. It's fake in three different ways. Okay, just a fun little irony. And then finally, we find out that CNN has an investigative reporting team. That's the most interesting part of the story. Okay, anyway, so now on to the real points. So over the weekend, everybody's going nuts. This is Donald Trump inciting violence against reporters. I don't agree with that. It's just a wrestling thing. Just look. Regular Americans watch wrestling, that includes me. And when you equate wrestling with real violence, they go, okay, these guys, they can't take a joke. They hyperventilate over everything, man. They blame Trump for everything when he was just sending out a fun tweet about wrestling. And it feels like the boy who cried wolf, you don't have to cry wolf, the dude's a wolf, right? He has 1,000 other things that he does wrong. 23 million people are gonna lose their health insurance. We could accidentally go to war with North Korea because he doesn't know what he's doing, and go on and on and on. You don't have to go nuts over this tweet. I mean, we made just such a giant case over it. On the other hand, the doxing and blackmail allegations for CNN. And by the way, I said that in a video, the first part that I put out over the weekend. So I've been clear about that, okay? But this new twist, no. CNN didn't threaten to blackmail the guy. First of all, the guy apparently apologized and took all that stuff off before CNN even had a conversation with him. So it's factually incorrect. That doesn't stop people like Senator Ted Cruz, who's a US senator, from jumping in saying, well, I think CNN might have done something illegal. So you don't know any of the facts. You're such a blowhard. You're such an annoying, phony politician. Okay. Now, but what CNN did do is they said, look, we know his identity, but we're going to keep it secret or whatever, unless he does this kind of stuff again. I don't think that that's unreasonable. And so that's an interesting conversation to have. But to say, wait a minute, you're a deeply bigoted anti-Semitic guy who has put out a lot of different things that we think, whether they're right or wrong, that's targeting us. So if you put out stuff like that again, yeah, of course I reserve the right to tell people who you are. They didn't say, I'm gonna put out his home address so you can go threaten the guy personally. CNN never said that, that's doxing, okay? So you have a First Amendment right to be as anti-Semitic or racist as you wanna be. And by the way, we showed you that one anti-Semitic thing, which is about as anti-Semitic as it gets. He also has tons of stuff against Muslims, but nowadays that's like, oh, you're bigoted against Muslims, that doesn't count. Half the country is, right? He's got bigoted stuff about Mexicans, or racist stuff against Mexicans. That doesn't count anymore because half the country is racist against Mexicans, right? But the anti-Semitic stuff counts, and people are like, oh, and he withdrew it. Now, when the right winger that Grace quoted then turns around and actually doxes CNN, puts out the home address of people like Wolf Blitzer, Brian Stelter, puts out their phone numbers, puts out their personal address, that is a threat to their lives. Like, we have a totally unbalanced conversation in this country where one side plays by regular rules and laws and the other side doesn't give a damn. Brian Stelter's life is in danger, Don Lemon's life is in danger, I don't care, is what that guy is saying. Look, I've done 1,000 videos critical of Don Lemon and Wolf Blitzer, but that doesn't mean I would put out their home address for anyone who agrees with me, wink, wink. And it is not the same thing to say, hey, I might expose a troll who his identity, who he is, as opposed to I'm gonna tell you where he lives.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's why I think when you get down to it, it's important to find, that seems like a violation of the law to dox someone and disclose their information with malicious intent, or at least it's okay to look into that because it does put someone's life in danger. But I had no desire to find out anything about the person who posted the original meme. Like I see that, I'm like, all right, you tell me that person's anti-Semitic, sure. I mean, no. I'm Semitic and it doesn't really, I mean, it's just Semitic. Strange to see that. To see that instinct of CNN, like if it was a script about this whole thing and it was an episode of television I was watching and you added that, like there was a meme that went viral and then you added that the person who made it is anti-Semitic, I'd be like, let's delete that whole plot arc because it's not interesting to me.
Yeah, no, let me agree with Brett completely on that. So yeah, a side part of this is why is CNN, which apparently has an investigative team, investigating the most irrelevant thing out there? My God, investigate this, his conflicts of interest and his tax plans and the fact that he doesn't know there's a tax cut inside the healthcare plan. There's so many things to investigate. Instead, they went and somehow unearthed the identity of this. Who cares who made the meme? Does it matter who made the meme? I get that the guy's anti-Semitic and a terrible guy. So as you just heard from me, I don't care about revealing his identity. I care that you don't reveal his private personal information. I think identity is different. Like, oh, what? I just get to be against Jews online, and now you're gonna tell me that I have to put my name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't put, you know, that part I don't care. But why did you bother? Who cares
so
who
strange.
Made the
meme? It's so, I hope it was easy. Because if it was difficult and they put a lot of like work hours into it, that would be weird.
What's also disheartening to me is that when he issued an apology, so many people were like, there's no way he could think that what he was posting was a bad idea. That's really disheartening, is that a lot of the stuff when you go through, you know, maybe we don't care about his identity, but the opinions that he was putting forth on Reddit had an audience. Like, I mean, there's a whole community of people in this subreddit that really agreed with him, that really liked these posts, and that when he issued an apology, you think, hey, you know what, I got called out and it's really, you know, I've started questioning some of the work that I put out there. I want to issue an apology. I think that it was cyberbullying or whatever. I don't agree with it. I don't think that it's right and I want to try and do better. And people are like, oh, that's totally, he's got to be blackmailed. He would never think that. He's got to stand by this work that he's put out. I think that's what's sort of sad about the story too.
I like his apology by and large.
Yeah.
I was not expecting like a lengthy, thoughtful apology from
really
someone
thoughtful.
Who's like, look at all the Jews at CNN. But I do. I don't like in his wording where he's like, "I'm in no way this kind of person."
Yeah.
You are. You're in every way. These are your actions. You're being called out for. You're not really being held accountable for them in any way because we don't know who you are. But you're being called out for them. You are that kind of person. You are the person. I hate to break it to you, who was like, you know what? I'm going to post this meme of all the Jews at CNN. Can we go back to that meme?
Yeah.
I think the most incriminating part of that meme, the one that's from Jared Yates Sexton with it's a bunch of different faces all together.
Yeah, Graphic 7.
Yep. Graphic 7. What's most incriminating is that all he had to do was add the Jewish stars. This is actually a screen cap from a panel on CNN. This whole thing, they had that many people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many folks they have on at the same time. That's a CNN joke just for that. And also, they have a lot of people.
So
glad I went out on that limb for that joke.
Okay, so look, last thing on this is that Brett's right again in that, and Grace is too, on the idea that people are rallying to his defense. Like, how dare you expose the identity of this online troll who said these terrible things? Because apparently they don't think it's that terrible. They think that it's worth it. We've got United States senators jumping into the defense of this horrible guy.
That's what's weird.
Yeah, and Julian Assange, I agree with him on many other things, but now talking about, oh, did CNN break the law by blackmailing? There's no blackmail here, okay? And look at who you're defending. Yeah, they should have never bothered to look into the guy in the first place. But you're telling me that when he says, I'm in no way this kind of guy, okay, maybe you guys think, oh, racist jokes about Mexicans and killing them at the border, that's hilarious, you know, and a lot of people make those jokes. I'm gonna put that aside, but you don't accidentally slip up and put the Star of David next to all of the reporters on CNN and then go, oh, that was just a funny, it's not funny, there's nothing funny about it. It's not an accident, it's not a mistake, it's something you did on purpose because you think the Jews control the media. And this is the guy we're stepping up to defend as an American hero whose identity should never be revealed under any circumstance? I think you should pick new heroes.
Yeah. And in a way, it seems like, you know, all the people who are jumping in to point the fingers at CNN, you have to realize you're also kind of defending not the right of this of Han Solo to post something. You're kind of defending like the rhetorical footing he's on. Mm. And it's weird, and it is. And but the troublesome thing for me is like, what am I gonna have a decent, normal conversation with the kind of people who are just gonna dox Blitzer? Like, yeah. That person never cared and was never going to care. And is never gonna respond to any reason, and they just wanna watch the world burn, which is very frustrating.
And that guy is not on the same, is not on the level. He was just waiting to dox those guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he thought CNN might at a later date dox his beloved anti-Semitic friend, right?
And they don't know each other probably.
Right, so he just found like a cause to be like, oh yeah, that's it, I'm doxing you all. Cause you might have done it, oh no, this is for free speech. It's not free speech to tell people where people live so that your lunatic followers can go and do something about it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go take a quick break. And when we come back, we're gonna be talking about a US congressman who's landed in some hot water and the secret to whatever happened to Amelia Earhart. Maybe it's been solved. We'll see in a bit.
Back on the Young Turks, Jane Huger, Grace, and Brett with you guys. Jennifer Dubois writes in, people who think NPR tweeting the Declaration of Independence is an attack on Trump should be ashamed to call themselves Americans. Gonna be shocked to find out that they are not ashamed. Art Murray says, the Republicans would have been loyalist if they were alive in 1776. Now, they did not like big government. I guess you could argue that the British crown was big government, so that one goes towards the conservatives. On the other hand, they're conservatives, which like tradition and, you know, and heritage and the way things are. So very, very likely they would have been loyalists.
Right. Yes. Make America great again, like it was before the Declaration of Independence.
Like before it was America. Make America Great Britain again. Okay.
That's it.
Sarah Elizabeth wrote, I wrote one comment on a friend's post about the wrestling tweet and moved on. People are about to lose their healthcare, don't lose sight. Yes, we've spent now 4 days talking about the fucking tweet. Anyway, we didn't, but the rest of the press did. And I am stuck with a great point. Donald Trump made it okay early on by giving out Lindsey Graham's cell number. It's true, Donald Trump, the president, is the original doxer.
Wow.
He gave out the phone number of one of his primary opponents. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, but he did it and everybody's fine. So are we surprised that his maniac followers think that doxing is perfectly okay? Of course not.
Yeah, you set the example.
Yep.
All right. What's next? Republican Congressman Clay Higgins has found himself in some hot water after he released the following video. Let's take a quick look.
Guards would drop Cyclone 5 cyanide gas from above. After about 20 minutes, everyone was dead. Go into the room and drag the bodies of those poor souls out and bring them and incinerate them in these ovens. This is why Homeland Security must be squared away, why our military must be invincible.
So obviously he took that video when he was visiting Auschwitz. Why are people getting so upset about this? Well, let's go to graphic 2 for this story. This is what all visitors see at the entrance to the building where first homicidal gas chambers of Auschwitz was created by the SS. You are in a building where the SS murdered thousands of people. Please maintain silence here. Remember their suffering and show respect for their memory. That was obviously not what he was doing. They also tweeted out, everyone has the right to personal reflections. However, inside a former gas chamber, there should be mournful silence. It's not a stage. He did respond to this criticism. He said, quote, I filmed the Auschwitz message with great humility. My intent was to offer a reverent homage to those who were murdered in Auschwitz and remind the world that evil exists, that free nations must remember and stand strong. However, my message has caused pain to some who I love and respect. For that, my own heart feels sorrow. Out of respect to any who may feel that my video posting was wrong or caused pain, I have retracted my video. Some people did respond on Twitter because it took him about a day to respond since his office was out for the 4th of July. One person, I thought this was rather poignant, said, posturing, politicizing, and veiled inferences, playing to the fears of his base, a shameful and disgusting display. Did you guys have a reaction when you saw this? I couldn't believe, I don't know if I've never been to Auschwitz. I don't know if I would have the wherewithal to film myself in that space.
I mean, it's just pulling out your phone and filming something. Yeah. It's, they give you rules, very simple rules, and he seems to understand that there is a gravity to where he's at. He just thinks that this rule doesn't apply to him. It's weird. I see that his intention is to raise some kind of awareness about something, and that's why they keep Auschwitz where it is as it is, to raise awareness and you know, make people feel about this. Mm-hmm. Now, they also say, hey, if you give a damn about what happened here, we would like you not to talk. And he just feels, he doesn't, I don't think he said, he had this great thing where he's like, you know what, I'm bigger than that. I think he probably thought, you know what, I need to make a statement here. And what is my job every day is to talk about how we need to keep America safe. But he linked this very real murder, genocide, suffering to his job, you know, with Homeland Security. And that's something you can do later, saying, you know what, I went and was very respectful at Auschwitz, and I took the tour, I looked around, and it isn't until you see that. Have those thoughts later. Communicate that later. Take your video when you're there, if that's allowed, do it. Then make a video. But right there, all we have is documentation of you, sorry, of you just politicizing this, which is something that they just don't want you to do right then and there.
Yeah, I'm not one on much on ceremony or like the talk of politicizing things. He's allowed to have his political opinion on Auschwitz. And I'm glad he cares enough to highlight it. In his apology, he went a little over the top. He says, I have always stood with Israel and all Jewish people, and I always will. Every single one. Okay, I don't know about every single one, but okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I get that.
So, anyway, yeah. So, but dude, inside the gas chamber to do a video, a bit much. And okay, so he's retracted it. He realizes, oh, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Good, fine. You know, as to his political points, if he made it, you know, at a later date, hey, I was, you know, floored by what I saw in Auschwitz, I don't have any problem with that. I don't even have a problem with it if he does it right outside, as long as he's respectful of the rules that they have there. And but what he takes away from it is not human rights. It's not caring for minorities and not scapegoating them. Those would be fairly straightforward, obvious takeaways from Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. He goes to, we must protect the homeland, and our armies must be invincible. I'm pretty sure that that's kind of what the other side said in that situation.
Well, and furthermore, on top of just follow the rules when you're there, just follow the rules. It's also, you know, when you're filming yourself, you're not in the moment. When you have that self-facing camera, you're focusing on, am I in the shot? It's your focus is anywhere but in the space that you are. And I think that to me gives me this really gross feeling where I'm like, it's not about, for a minute, it's not about you. It's not about your political career, your political leanings. Just be where you are.
Yeah.
This is, to honor the victims, I think it's the least you could do.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, guys, for the radio show, we're out of time. Unfortunately, I want to tell you a couple of quick things. Today, we're going to have an extra segment online. And I know since it's a little tape delayed on radio, it's a little difficult for you guys. But if you tytnetwork.com is where you'll see the extra segment. That's where you'd see the post games. But this month we have free trial membership anyway. So if you go to TYT Network, if you go to tytnetwork.com/join and you use the promo code FREETYT, you click on the $10 a month thing, but you put the promo code in FREETYT, you get 1 month of free membership. So you'll be able to watch the whole show anytime you want, including that last segment on demand. Only the members get that.
Plus,
Yeah, and it's ad-free.
What else do you get?
Yeah.
And you get Old School tonight, where you'll see Brett Ehrlich again.
Yeah.
And John Iadarola again, and me, you, him, and Michael Shore.
What? That made me happy. I didn't know the full cast.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's an all-star team tonight. Wow. So that's all going on tonight. Members get to watch it live, and members get access to all the Old School episodes as well. And let me see if I can squeeze in the 5 seconds I have left. No. All right, I'll read members of the day when we come back. All right, we'll be right back. Back on the Young Turks, Jen, Grace, and Brett. Now, member shout-outs, as I just promised you, is Karen Tennyson and Jessica Green. So thank you for being members, guys. We appreciate it. And for those of you who are enjoying the free month of membership, God bless. Hope you stay with us.
Cool.
All right, what's next?
My favorite story of the day is what's next. Mm. Does this photo hold the key of whatever happened to legendary aviator Amelia Earhart? Well, some experts say that yes, it absolutely does. So first, let's take a look at this photo. We're going to zoom in. I'm going to break down the details of what people are talking about. But what you should know is that it's from the National Archives, and that photo was taken in the Marshall Islands. A little bit more about this photo. A newly discovered photograph suggests legendary aviator Amelia Earhart, who vanished 80 years ago on a round-the-world flight, survived a crash landing in the Marshall Islands. Independent analysts told History the photo appears legitimate and undoctored. Sean Henry, former executive assistant director for the FBI and an NBC News analyst, has studied the photo and feels confident it shows the famed pilot and her navigator, Fred Noonan. So the last that we heard from Amelia Earhart was July 2nd, 1937. And then after 2 years of her plane missing, they never recovered it. The US concluded that she had crashed somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, although the remains were never found. Les Kinney, a retired government investigator who has spent 15 years looking for Earhart clues, said the photo clearly indicates that Earhart was captured by the Japanese. Now, let's go to a zoomed in photo of the photo I showed you earlier. So there we go. So that shows the circles Noonan, her navigator, and Earhart herself. And what they want to point out for you guys is that the person circled as Earhart is wearing pants, which is something that was a little atypical of the time that Earhart was known for. And particularly as Noonan, they feel is very strongly resemble him because of the receding hairline that was very sharp, and his nose is very prominent. Now, this is sort of a blink and you would miss it sort of thing if you really have to zoom in to see that.
Not me.
But they say that the evidence is very clear. For decades, locals have claimed they saw Earhart's plane crash before she and Noonan were taken away. Native school kids insisted they saw Earhart in captivity. This comes to their conclusion, which is we believe that the Koshu took her to Saipan in the Mariana Islands, and that she died there under the custody of the Japanese. That was said by Gary Tarpanian, the executive producer of a History special that is coming out about the mystery of Amelia Earhart.
So. Sure. No skin off my butt.
First of all, serious question. Was I saying Earhart for the first half of that
story? No, just once.
Okay, thought I said. I was like, well, that is a different sort of.
That photo is obviously not Amelia Earhart.
It's not Amelia Earhart, but it could be Amelia Earhart. What do you guys think about this? Do you think there's any weight to it? They got a lot of people to weigh in. A lot of people think that this is the truth.
So here are the parts that I find interesting and not. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what's not convincing is the picture of Earhart. Really? What? You can tell for sure that's her?
That is Earhart back if I ever saw it. And let me add, I've never seen Earhart's back.
She has a short haircut, and then also.
So do most of the people in that photo.
There is a boat in the background.
Now that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
So the picture of her back is not very convincing. I get it that Noonan's hairline, it might look like Noonan. No, the part that's actually convincing is that there's a picture of something that is being. It's towing a barge. The Japanese ship Koshu is towing a barge with something that appears to be 38 feet long, which is the same length as Earhart's plane. Okay, if that's her plane in the background, that's a lot more convincing than I kind of notice her ear is similar to Earhart's ear, right? Okay, so now why do I care about this? It's an international mystery. I know why you care, Grace. Murder with Friends.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, you love this.
Aviation disasters
mysteries.
With friends.
Yeah, I love awesome. Mysteries. Mysteries with friends.
Right. In the next episode of Murder with Friends with Grace.
Yeah.
But the thing that I found interesting is that that apparently that we had a spy there, and he was taking pictures. But so we might have known that Earhart was actually taken by the Japanese, but we didn't want to compromise the spy. So anyway, I guess that was a sad day for Earhart.
Here's what I do with captives, is I let them just sit on the pier, just by themselves.
On the other hand, where are they gonna go? It's the Marshall Islands.
Yeah, but look, no, you have them, they're handcuffed. I would have them handcuffed. I wouldn't have them just standing around as I'm just looking. Literally everyone in all of the picture is looking an opposite direction except at their prisoners. You know, that's a little strange to me. Maybe they're disoriented, maybe they're like, thank you so much for the meal and pulling me out of the wreckage. Why would you have a captive like Amelia Earhart and not try to ransom them at any point?
Yes.
Not try to do some exchange for your prisoners? I hate to rain on the parade, but I find it strange that this is all coming out as a news story around the time that, I don't know if you knew this, but
the history special.
The Amelia Earhart, The Lost Evidence is gonna air this Sunday on the History Channel.
Yeah,
but so to be fair, that's what's in the show. That's why they're publicizing it.
I'm just saying that this sounds a lot like the island of the mega shark, where you never see the mega shark. But afterwards you watch it and go, oh, you know what? If I'm at a cocktail party and we're talking about missing people throughout the ages, I'm gonna bring up that Amelia Earhart photo. And then other people will say, oh, I heard that discussion too. And you'll both say like, what? We're both Young Turk subscribers? Amazing, let's have a great time and drink some tea together.
Also, Japanese authorities did tell NBC News they have no record of Earhart being in their custody, which at this point, why would they lie?
Yeah, they're buds now.
Yeah, by the way, and it could have been them in the picture, but it wasn't the Japanese who kidnapped them and held them. It could have been some other story, right? Maybe they were perfectly fine there and they were not captors.
Can I tell you?
But they got captured later by pirates, who knows?
As someone very familiar with the various lengths of women's hair, I would like to say that while it might have been short hair in that photo, it could have been just a real flat bun. You know what I mean?
Could have been a flat bun. She had short hair.
People have been like,
hair was more naturally voluminous. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of this story is the hairline is the most distinctive characteristic, said Ken Gibson, a facial recognition expert. How do you become a facial recognition expert? So you're a person? Who looks in like, how do you, is the test for that like, who's this? And you just have to be like, Hillary Swank, who's that? Tom Cruise, who's that? That's Tom Cruise in 1986.
How do you know? The nose.
Yeah.
They're like, who's he's good.
After my advanced analysis of the photo, I've determined that's his face because it's his face.
Yeah, and the ones you can't tell, well, it can't be proven wrong.
Yeah, sure.
So no, look, one last thing that I liked about the story is the all the people, and that's why I believe that it probably is them, but I just don't know what happened to them after that picture, is that all the locals were like, yeah, you guys keep saying Amelia Earhart was missing. She wasn't missing, she was right here. They're like, what would you know in the Marshall Islands? And the local school kids, why would the school kids bring up? They're like, she was right here. We all saw her with our own eyes. Like,
I don't know. People used to tell me that like if they went into the bathroom and shut the light off, they would see Bloody Mary. You know, like there was like a and they'd say, oh, I saw her. Yeah, you didn't see that. We see that. Remember the video of the leprechaun in the tree? Uh-huh. Where a bunch of people are like, there's a leprechaun in the tree. And there's no leprechaun in the tree. They were just saying it because the news people were asking them. All I'm saying is Amelia Earhart did not, I don't think she disappeared in the Marshall Islands, but I know where she went, and you're gonna have to watch my special on the History Channel when it comes out.
Look, my sense is like, why are all these random people in the Marshall Islands like, we figured out who Amelia Earhart is, and let's pretend that she was here.
Yeah. Like, I'm fine with it.
You know what I'm saying? Like if it's New York or New York adjacent, and that was a big story back then, and you want to pretend that you found her with Bigfoot in the New Jersey woods, okay, right? But in the Marshall Islands, who's like, hey guys, I got an idea. Let's make up that Earhart
was
here.
If they did, like, I'm Princess Anastasia. Like, you know how all those people would come forward, and be like, I am the lost princess.
I'm right. Spartacus. If they did come up with that idea, it is a hilarious idea.
Way to go, school kids in the Marshall Islands.
Good job, kids.
That's right. Papua New Guinea right now is thinking, why didn't we think of that?
Okay. Here's a fun fact. My brother was actually a teacher in the Marshall Islands.
Oh, really? What's it like there?
He loved it. He ate a lot of coconut.
Did he ever see Amelia Earhart?
A couple times. She just kind of lives there, and she's like, boo, you'll never believe me. You know, it's weird. It was a weird life.
But that's her voice.
So, okay, super, super last thing. It's like the JFK murder, right? So people are like, well, if it was a conspiracy, people would say something. Except they do all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, they're like, there's all these witnesses who are like, no, you don't understand. I saw the guy in the grassy knoll, shoot him, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, somebody would say something. Yeah, he just did. Yeah, dozens of witnesses said it. And then there was Jack Ruby who killed Lee Harvey Oswald. They're like, well, if it was a conspiracy, he would have said something. Yeah, in prison, he was like, it was a conspiracy. And then I didn't know I was going to spend the rest of my life in jail. I'm going to give evidence. They're like, yeah, somebody would say something. Like, it goes on and on. There are like dozens of people who said, we did it. We did it, right? And they're like,
I hope what happened was Amelia Earhart and Noonan, they were like, we just want to start a new life here. Let's just not tell anyone we crashed. That's the movie I want to see. Where they're like,
yes.
And they're like, yeah. And they weren't held prisoner, really.
No, they
weren't.
They were
just like, listen, let's just hang out and start this over, because all the pressure of me being like, where is it going to end? As I was crashing into the Marshall Islands, I thought, Amelia, what are you flying from?
They didn't even crash.
They landed
at the Marshall Islands and kept the money.
What
sort of a rom-com are you guys writing right now? This sounds like Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson in The Aviators.
Or The Aviatrix.
Yeah. Fly to my love. I don't know.
A little bit of 50 Shades of Grey, sure. And it's The Aviatrix.
My favorite thing is one of my friends who calls female bartenders bartendresses. Bartendress, can I have your attention?
Yeah.
Aviatrix.
Barista and barristers, no? Isn't that the?
Okay. Do you guys want to? Do we have time for the last David Beckham story?
Yeah, let's keep going. Anything.
David Beckham found himself in a little bit of a controversy over the following Instagram photo. Let's take a look. So that is him and his daughter Harper. They are kissing on the lips, and some people thought that was totally inappropriate. David Beckham decided to address that on a Facebook Live. He said, quote, I got actually criticized for kissing my daughter on the lips the other day. I kissed all my kids on the lips. Brooklyn, maybe not. Brooklyn's 18. He might find that a little bit strange, but I'm very affectionate with the kids. It's how I was brought up, and Victoria, it's how we are with our children. So this provoked a conversation in the Instagram comments, which is always very constructive. But before I get you guys to weigh in, here are some two conflicting theories on kissing your kids on the lips. One comes from Dr. Charlotte Resnick, who is a child and educational psychologist at the California University, UCLA. She said, if you start kissing your kids on the lips, when do you stop? It gets very confusing. However, child psychologist Dr. Fiona Martin disagreed, saying, it's beautiful. Anything that promotes emotional connectivity is good. It's certainly not inappropriate to kiss your child. Now, I do not have kids. I have had pets, and I feel very comfortable with kissing them, even though it's not at all the same. So where do you guys land on kissing children on the lips? Is it okay that David Beckham was called out? Is there a controversy here?
It's better than kissing other people's kids on the lips.
Agreed.
If I had to put it on a spectrum.
Right. So Harper is 5 years old.
Okay.
All right. So first of all, let's acknowledge that all sides are carried away here.
Okay? Yes.
Okay. So, like, the overreaction from the people defending him, it's beautiful. It's just calm down.
It's too much.
Yeah, everybody's got different cultures, and some people kiss their kids on the lips and others don't. I don't. My wife does sometimes. And some people stop at different ages. Some people kiss on one cheek, some people kiss on two cheeks, some people do three times, right? Mm-hmm. It's none of that is right or wrong. And now to the people who are attacking him, which is number one problem, because why is this an issue? Like,
because you need to set David Beckham straight.
Yeah. Okay, so
he needs to be fixed.
When he is bent a little bit.
Bend it like Beckham. No, I got it. I just didn't want to validate it with a laugh.
Agreed. That was the most correct thing you've done. But anyway, I wanted to answer Dr. Resnick's question. She says, you know, as Grace told you, like, if you start kissing on your kids on the lips, where do you stop? Tongue?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not that complicated.
Or when you're like, I should stop doing this. Like, you'll know. It's
or,
like,
no, moreover, they'll tell you. Like,
yeah.
When I reached a certain point, my parents were always very affectionate with me, but I reached a certain point and I'd be like, less. Like,
even
no.
like kisses on the cheek, you'll be like, Mom, stop. I'm going to school. I don't want people to see.
Yeah. As someone who does not have children, I would say, if you should kiss your kids because you love them in an appropriate parental way, and if you are overthinking it, then it's weird. Just kiss them when you feel it and that you when you love them. I mean, my mom will sometimes, now it's really cute because I'm older, but I remember she always loves to hold my hand with the fingers interlocked when we'd be walking somewhere together. And that was always fine, and then I reached the age of like 13 or 14, where it's like, Mom, no, like, I'm an independent person. I know what I'm doing and I'm gonna be emo forever. Like, don't hold my hand. And now I'm older and she'll sometimes grab my hands when she's walking or visiting. And I'm like, that's really sweet. I think that if you are overthinking the affection that you give your kid, like, I'm doing this because I love you, like, pat on that, that's weird.
Right, yes.
Just and do it because you feel it, man.
It's also like strange. They're communicating to their kids, like, I am your parent. I love you. That's it. And it's gotta be strange when an outsider is like, you people, you're weird. And then the kid's gonna be like, is this weird? Am I being taken advantage of in this weird way? And the parents are like, no, I'll stop. I don't care. You're my kid.
Just get off their ass,
it's
man.
It's really creepy.
Yeah. So I kiss my kids on the cheek all the time, nonstop, because I love them. It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So to your point, Grace, I hold my son's hand as he crosses the street because he's 6 years old. We probably won't do that when he's 17, right?
But it all is very cyclical because I will see now my grandfather is 95, 96, he's older, and how he interacts with my dad now is really sweet. Is that my dad will like take his arm if they're crossing the street because he's so it ebbs and flows. It's natural and normal to be affectionate with kids and parents, and you should do it in a way that makes you comfortable and them comfortable and that you have this open and honest relationship.
Right.
How is this a thing on Instagram that people are mad about?
Right, I think some people kiss their kids on the cheek, on the shoulder, on the mouth, regardless of where it is. Some people kiss their kids in weird ways. And it is weird and it can be confusing if those people are being creepy about it. But just like David Beckham kissing his kid in and of itself is not empirically weird. I think context
is very important. Factually nothing creepy about David Beckham. That's actually true.
The downside of
scientifically proven. He can't be creepy. Okay.
The downside for the kid is like you're never gonna kiss anyone that attractive again.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know about that. They're pretty famous.
Now I think.
I'm just saying, like, that sucks.
Okay. That got a little weird. Okay. All right. You know what? I like the last story. Let's just squeeze out the last story.
Here's
let's
the last go story? Yeah. Oh. Squeeze was maybe not a great.
Yeah.
He got squeezed out on this story. Oh, wow. KTLA reporter Wendy Birch was reporting from an Ironman competition in Hermosa Beach, Los Angeles on the 4th of July when the following occurred. I am going to toss to a video, but I should warn you, it gets a little liquidy from the mouth. So if you don't like seeing that, then, look away. But let's toss to video.
Sarah was trying to finish her six pack.
Welcome to the Ironman.
It looks like you've been training for this for some time.
I've been doing this for about 25 years.
Oh, no!
Time to pack up, Wendy, I think.
It's a locker room celebration, yep. Ladies and gentlemen.
Time to bring her out.
Okay.
So Birch actually wrote on a blog post afterwards explaining a little bit about what happened at that event, because you can see that the video sort of freezes. She said, quote, she explained that a coincidental technical glitch made the video freeze right at the moment the vomit hit, hence why the cameras cut back to the studio. What we didn't see, however, was that Birch assumed she was still live, so she carried on interviewing people for a further 2 minutes. To just cap off this whole story, she said, to all of you aspiring journalists out there, to all of you aspiring journalists out there, I'm here to tell you dreams really do come true, especially in the age of viral videos, because she is now one badass reporter that is going viral for just the commitment and just rolling with the punches or the Ralph's or whatever.
The lunches.
The lunches, rolling with the lunches. That would have been great for that, rolling with the lunches.
Or Breaking Spews is good though.
All right.
Breaking Spews.
Here's what I got from the story. So this stuff happens in a live shot from time to time. And of course, there's the fake, somewhat fake reaction at this back in the studio, like, oh, hey, Wendy, we gotta get her out of there. You know what I'm saying? We would have been like, oh my God, somebody just spewed on her. That's amazing. Go back to her
Go back now. Wendy.
Right. Wendy, somebody just threw up on you. What is going on? What are your thoughts? Right? That's fun. That's interesting. Keep it real, right?
You can watch the extended live or raw feed of what they kept filming, because it happens again. She's interviewing the big guy, and someone throws up on his shoulder. He just keeps going. She just keeps going. She turns over to another person, a small girl who has just finished a six pack. And as that's happening, another spray comes over to her. Yeah. The upside for those of you who don't know about the Iron Man is at this point during the interview, people are chugging a six pack of beer, which is itself somewhat irresponsible. You should pace yourself for everyone out there. But at that point, as someone who was in a fraternity, it's just beer. What's coming out of them, I've seen it, I've done it, it's just beer. So that's better than like a chunky lunch situation coming out.
To be fair.
It's just like a phone. Santa Claus, topless Santa Claus over there just doesn't care. It hits him, he just keeps moving.
You know why? He's an Iron Man.
He's an Iron Man.
Yeah, so no, the reason I like this story, it's fun and all that, is that I think she's somewhat serious when she says, like, no, 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 keep doing the right things and you too can become a star. But like in today's day and age, you become a star when someone vomits on you. Like, and now, yes, I'm viral.
Right? Well, to be fair, she went viral because the story when we found out what happened is that much more outrageous. I don't think it would have gotten that much traction if it was like reporter gets thrown up on. Like, that's sort of a blooper reel. But the fact that she kept going for two more minutes and held her composure and just sort of rolled with it, I think that is why she went viral, because that's
pretty cool. But that's actually what's wrong with local news though. You shouldn't keep your composure. You should be a regular human being. Go, hey, you know, Brent and Grace back in the studio, I just got vomited on.
She's funny.
Do you see what I'm saying?
That's the right thing to do.
Just to react to her situation.
Be a human.
I will say she is. She is the kind of human who's been to one of those before. If you watch the full 2 minute video, she's like, all right, there's a lot going on here. And then she looks over and she rolls with it in a way that implies like she is having just as much fun as everyone else here. She's not like the, well, to our next serious report from the girl with the six pack who just drank it upside down. She's like, oh, okay, we're gonna go to this person over here who essentially didn't throw up on me. Well, you guys clean that up. And she has a good time. She's having a good time. The local Channel 5 is not the problem. Channel 5, I've grown up in Los Angeles, they're like the fun, hip ones who are like, yeah, we're having a good time.
Yeah. And no, I'm not hating on her at all. I feel bad for her. But I'm just commenting that in this day and age, anything to go viral. And if you have, for right reasons or the wrong reasons, doesn't matter, you made it. The only thing that doesn't apply to is us, because almost all of our videos are viral and hence they are discounted.
Well, I'm actually drunk all the time when I've been on this show, so that's probably why we've gone
viral.
We
smell it, but I don't notice it in your behavior.
I've been waiting for my big, I'm gonna give you that big moment, Cenk. Just Cenk Uygur got thrown up on. You're welcome.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Cross my fingers. Okay. Somebody get her a beer.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. We got to do a post game. Then we got to do old school later. We got a lot for you guys. TYTnetwork.com/join to hear the post game. Lucky for you, it's free for a month if you are in this window. That's free TYT is the promo code. Okay. Bye-bye.